Okay, the boys said today's daf is daf lamed tes, and we're starting a brand new perek. And the perek begins Toraf Bekalfi. As you recall, the Kohen Gadol had taken, not he had taken, but the two Seirim were placed in the Sofoin Mizrach side of the Azara, where the Kohen Gadol had the two, and he had in his hand, someone had in his hand a Kalfi to go and remove the two Gerolas. We have this back in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Umid Aleph, Lamed Zayin, two blot ago, I should say. Boloi the Mizrach Hoazora, Litzvoin Hamizbeach, Askan Mininoi, Reish Beis Ab, Bismoiloi, Mismoiloi, Vishom Shneis Irem, the two goats were standing there, Vakalfi Hoisisham, and there was a Kalfi, Kalfi is a box, Ubo Shnei Goyroloi Shel Eshkroya, etc. So we know that we're at the point of going and taking the Goyro. The Mishnah got off a little bit on a tangent because we spoke about the fact that Ben Gamla changed the Goyrolis from Eshkaroya to Zohot. Then we spoke about Ben Kotin, Munviz, Hilni, Nikonar. So now we're getting back on track once again, that the Kohen Gadol is ready to go and select the two Goyrolis from the Kalfi. And he was Toraf Bekalfi. The Toraf Bekalfi, says Rashi, means pisoim, betrifa ubechatifa. He didn't put his hand gently, idly, in an idle fashion inside the Kalfi, but he went and snatched out the Goyro from the Kalfi. This will become important as we start the Gemara in the Yetzer Shem.
Toraf usually means to tear, like Toraf Toraf Yosef. It's a strange Lashon.
Exactly, so that's what we're pointing out. We're not talking that he tore up the Goyrolos, but we're talking about that he grabbed them and tore them from the box, from the Kalfi. Is good?
Yeah.
That is the pshat that Rashi learns. Pisoim betrifa ubechatifa. Chatifa is a person who snatches, who grabs. There's another pshat, you'll notice next to the Torah, there's a beis, and beis is a shas, and he brings a pshat, the Torah means irvavein, kimoi beim trufais, that the Kohen Gadol, or whoever was in charge of the Kalfi, went and mixed the two Geirolas together. Why did he mix the two Geirolas together? And why did the Kohen Gadol have to snatch them? As we'll see in the Gemara, because it was considered to be a good segula, a good omen, if the Kohen Gadol took out the Geirol Hashem with his right hand. And therefore we don't want the Kohen Gadol to try to manipulate the process by, if he took out the Geirolas slowly, he might be able to feel the ink. Some say that in fact it was engraved in these Geirolas, and he'd be able to feel which one says Lashem and which one is La Azoza. And that's why we said, Kohen Gadol, Shnel, Aram Eros, put your hand in, take it out immediately. So he didn't have a chance to go and inspect it or feel it with his fingers. As well as the second shot of the Masoris Hashas, Bashim the Rishbam, that Irvavim, that he mixed them up. So then, initially, when you put the two in, maybe the Kohen Gadol spied which one was on top. Lashem, Lazoza. This way he had to first go and mix them.
Randomize them.
And then he would be able to take them out, and we'd see which one comes out on the right hand, which one from the left hand. So again, Torah Bekalfi. The Helvishnei Gerolis. And he got two Gerolis out. As we'll see in the Mishnah momentarily, one of the Gerolis he picked up with his right, the other one with his left. It is possible that he even put in both hands simultaneously, but we'll see that in Mi'achim when we get to the Gemara. So the Helvishnei Gerolis, he took out two Gerolis. Echad Kosov Olov Vashem, one said on it Vashem, Echad Kosov Olov La'azazel, the other one said La'azazel. Haskan B'yaminoi, Vereish Beis Av Mismoyla. We already mentioned that in the previous Mishnah. The reason why we repeat it again is because, as you'll see, they had minimal roles to play in our Mishnah. Sagan, of course, was the deputy Kohen Gadol. Vereish Beis Av was the head of the Beis Av of that day on Yom Kippur. Under normal circumstances, Vereish Beis Av would be very busy that day in charge of all his Kohanim that were going to do the Avodah that day in the Beis Hamikdash. On Yom Kippur, the regular rank and file Kohanim don't really have any jobs to do, so his only job that day was to accompany the Kohen Gadol, now at the time of the two Seirim, and he was walking with him, Mismoyle, on his left hand side. And now let's see what happened. Im shol shem ola b'yaminoi, if the Kohen Gadol was fortunate enough that he picked up the Lahashem goyra with his right hand. Then the deputy Kohen Gadol says, Ishi Kohen Gadol, hag beyimincha, pick up your right hand and show everybody the good news that you were able to go and pick up the Lashem with your right hand. However, if the one Lashem came up with his left hand, Rosh Beis Av Oimaloi, then it's not the Skan, but it's Rosh Beis Av that says to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, hag beyimincha, go and pick up your left hand. So people should see that the Gadol says Lashem in the left hand. The son of Shneas Edom, now the Kohen Gadol took the two Gadolos, placed the right hand one on the right Sa'ir, the left hand one on the left Sa'ir, Va'omer, and then he declares Lashem Chatas. Whichever one was the Lashem, he says that's the one Lashem Chatas, as opposed to the other one, which is La'azazel. Or Rabbi Shmuel Oimeloi Hayetzerach Le'Mechatas, the word Chatas is superfluous. All he had to say is El Lashem, and then we all know that Lashem means it's going to be brought for Karm Chatas Lashem. Then Oinan Achrav, and the Kohol that was there, or at the very least the two, the Skan and the Rosh Beis Av, but presumably the whole Kohol, like we say on Yom Kippur, V'kahan V'yom, Shurahim V'yom V'azora, they said, Baruch Hashem Kavoy Malchusa V'yolam V'yad. Fine.
When he puts it on the seer, he says Lashem, and everybody says Baruch Hashem Kavod. But someone says
when he says the name Lashem, because he doesn't say Hashem, he says Ladoi, right? With the full Agnus. After he finishes saying that, then everybody ends the Baruch Hashem. Jacques Dimar, we started off Toraf Bekalfi. Pretty more lomeli Toraf Bekalfi. Why does a Toraf from a lotion of snatching and grabbing, or the other pshat of mixing? Says the Gemara, kihechlo inechavin v'lishko. So he shouldn't play any games. If you look at the Rashi right here, the Mishul v'inechavin shlo yimashmesh. He shouldn't start feeling each one of the geirales lahavin b'mishmushay to try to discern from his feeling. Eizu shel shem, which one is the Lashem v'yitlena b'yamin v'fishu simen yofek shu oyla b'yamin, was considered to be a good omen if the Kohen Gadol was able to get the Lashem in his right hand. And in fact, we're going to see shortly that as long as Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol for the 40-year period, always, every single year, it always came up Lashem in the right hand. So this was considered to be a good omen, and we don't want the Kohen Gadol to start playing around. And that's why, no, Shnell, take it out. Omer Rava, Kalfi Shul Eitzoysa, the Kalfi was made out of wood, like a wooden box. Vishul Chol Hoysa, it wasn't a Klei Shoris that had Kedusha, it was a Klei Chol. Ve'ena Machzekes al Shtei Yadayim, and the entire volume that it was able to hold was the size of two hands. So if you put in two hands, there was no room to move. Just that was the maximum amount of room inside the Kalfi. And you're wondering why. Mask of Lervena. Bishlam ena Machzekes al Shtei Yadayim, I understand. Kehechet l'lechaven v'lishka. Like we just said a moment ago. Had there been more room in the Kalfi, then the Kohen Gadol can go and start mixing and pushing around the two Goyrolis to feel which one feels like the Lashem one and which one feels like the La'azazel one. However, if there's no room to move and to maneuver, there's only room for two hands, then it would be very difficult for him to do that. So that's why we want to make it as small as possible. He shouldn't play games. But Frank Tumala Shulchol, the Kacha, why shouldn't there be a Klisharis with Kenusha? Says Yimor, because imkain havli klisharis shel eitz, klisharis the eitz liavdinan. We say we don't want to make a klisharis of eitz. It's pasish, it's a zilzul. Ready to have an avda the kasef? No. So then, had the kushal duchta. Why don't we make the skalpi out of silver and then make it into a kli koydish? Make it into a klisharis. V'navda, says Yimor, v'navda the kasef, v'navda zav. Make it out of silver. Make it out of gold. The Torah has Rachmanis on Mamon Shel Yisrael. Where do we find that the Torah has Rachmanis on Mamon Shel Yisrael? Very famous Chazal, that if and when there's a report of Tzaras Babayis, in other words, a homeowner sees that there are terrible blotches on his wall, and they look like Nega Tzaras, he calls the Kohen comes, the Kohen takes one look at it, and he says, before I make any pronouncements, take out all of the Kalim which happen to be here inside this house, so that they should not become tamei, were I to declare the whole house tamei. And they quickly bring all the movers, they take out all the furniture, all the kalim, etc. And now the house is basically there. And now the Kohen goes in again and says, yeah, as I thought initially, all of it happens to be tummy. And therefore, we're going to have to quarantine this house for a week, and then he comes back a second week later, etc. The Rashi points out that if there are any type of kelim which can be immersed in a mikveh, so there's no problem. Worst comes to worst, the kohen says it happened to be tummy, so I take them all to the mikveh. However, if you're talking about pachim shel klicheres, you cannot table in the mikveh. So therefore, the whole announcement that he told everybody, take out all of the kelim from the house, was only to go and help vis-a-vis the klicheres. Klicheres are considered to be relatively inexpensive. So you see that there was chosam amon shu Yisrael to make this announcement just to go and save those poor klicheres. So it says Yomar over here too. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not require that this kalfi be made out of gold or out of silver, because of Torah Chosam and Yishu Yisrael. So now you're going to go and say,
well, what about Makas Ashiris also?
What about all the other klisharis in the Beis Hamikdash? There were numerous klisharis, and they were all made out of silver, made out of gold. Why don't you say the same thing over there? So we'll see Mitchum at the end of the blot, towards the bottom of Lamed Tes Amid Beis, that the Gemara is going to hold that the Inyan of the selection of the garolas from the kalfi was not an avoider per se, but rather was a requirement. But it wasn't an avoider. For an avoider, you have to have klisharis to go and perform the avoider. This wasn't an avoider, this is just a hachana. That's why it was not necessary. Since it wasn't necessary, you don't have to make it out of gold and silver. You want to, give some time, but you don't have to. So don't make a special tax on Klal Yisrael to be able to go and get a golden or silver kalfi. But you remember the previous mission that we had, that some of the generous and gracious people gave money from their own funds. That's fine, and that's why the Chachamim were Mishabeach them. That's why we said, for instance, that we started off that the two gerolas were made out of Eshkaraya, and then Ben Glamla made them out of Zob from his own funds. No, Zeshem, but you must get Oysel Eshvach. Ben Kotin, instead of allowing for the two dadim on the kiyar, he made 12 dadim on the kiyar, and so on and so forth. The Munvas made golden handles to the knives, and Hilni made this beautiful golden nevreshes, a menorah, etc. So if you want to donate on your own, that's great, but to have the tzibur have to pay unnecessarily, we don't want to. Okay, so now our Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol puts in both of his hands to extract the two gerolas. The Mishnah doesn't say whether he put them in simultaneously or consecutively, but we do know that the size of the kalfi was for two hands, so at least theoretically he might have put in both hands at the same time. But that's the Kohen Gadol putting in his hands. But there is a brisa that is mechulik on our Mishnah. Masis lekei tana, the same within the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda ayim mishum Reb Lezer, mishum Reb Lezer. Haskan, the Kohen Gadol machnisen yodon lekalfi. Ah, the skan and the Kohen Gadol together put their hands in the kalfi. Now it doesn't necessarily mean that they put it in simultaneously, but it could be that they put it in simultaneously. That's the sound of it, machlis and yorm bekalfi. It could be that they did it consecutively. First one did it, or sequentially, and then the other one put it in after that. I don't know why it says the skan before the kohen gadol. I should say kohen gadol before the skan. But regardless, they put their hands into the kalfi, and the minishul kohen gadol oile, if the kohen gadol was zocher that the Hashem came up in his right hand, Haskan Oimuloi, then the Skan tells him, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hagbe Yemincha, show everybody that you have the Lahashem Goyrol in your right hand. Then the Yemino is the Skan Oile, but if the Skan was Zoche to get the Lahashem, which was a little bit of an embarrassment for the Kohen Gadol, then Roish Beis Av Oimuloi, then the Skan was quiet, and the Roish Beis Av says, the Kohen Gadol, Daber Milach, say your word. What does that mean, say a word? Says Rashi, go and say Lahashem Chatos. Or like Rabbi Shmuel said in the Mishnah, you don't have to say Chatos, you just have to say Lahashem. Zokti Yimara v'neim uliskan. Why aren't we mechabed the Roish Beis Av to go and tell the Kohen Gadol Dabar Milach? Why don't we have the Skan go and say Dabar Milach? Just like we had the Skan in the Reisha. He told the Kohen Gadol, Hagvi Mincha, go and show your right hand that you're holding on to the Goyer Lahashem. So now when he's holding on to the Goyer La'azazel, why don't we have the Skan say Kohen Gadol Dabar Milach, say Lahashem? Why do we have the Roish Beis Av? Because of the fact that the Kohen Gadol, in a sense, goofed, He didn't really goof, but he brought up with his hand the La'azazel instead of Lashem. Who was the one that drew the lot of the Lashem? It was the Skan. So if the Skan would go and say now, Koyin Godel, go and tell everybody Lahashem without picking up your right arm, everybody would realize, I know what happened. The Skan was the one that got the right-handed Goyra Lahashem. It was the Kohen Gadol that took out the one La'azazel, and it would look almost like a mockery, or at least in the mind of the Kohen Gadol, it's bad enough that he went, that the Skan was successful in taking out the good omen Goyrel, the La'ashem Goyrel, but to go and now in public humiliate me and go and say, tell everybody La'ashem, without being able to pick it up with your right hand, then that would be considered a humiliation for the Kohen Gadol. And that's why we have the Reish Pesach telling him Daber Milach, and the Skan is silent. Okay, so we have two versions. We have the version of our Mishnah where the Kohen Gadol put his right hand and then his left hand to go and take out the two Goyrelois, and we have the case of the Braisa, where it was the Kohen Gadol and the Skan together that took out, each one using their right hand to take out the two Goyrelois. The machlokes is not just historical, you know, what happened. There must be a good reason for it. Says Yigmar, Mar Sovi Yemina Deskan Odef Mismoli Dekoyin Godel Umar Sovi Kia Dodi Ninu. What the Gemara is telling us is that there's a slight tension over here. What's the tension? We know that the halacha is that all of the avoidos of Yom Kippur have to be done by the Kohen Gadol himself, not by anybody else, with certain exceptions like the person who was Merak, who finished off the Shechita. But otherwise, everything had to be done by the Kohen Gadol himself. On the other hand, we know that whenever you do avoid the Beis Hamikdash, it's supposed to be done with the right hand. You're not supposed to do it with the left hand. Okay, so now the Kohen Gadol has to go and draw the lots. If you're going to tell me that the Kohen Gadol is going to draw the lots by using both hands, so then he is using his left hand for the second Goyer. But at least we have accomplished one thing, that the Kohen Gadol has done everything. On the other hand, if you have the Skan helping him out, then the Kohen Gadol has only used his right hand. He hasn't done anything with his left hand. So, Baruch Hashem. On the other hand, but you don't have the Kohen Gadol doing everything. It's the Skan doing it. Now, this is not a major, major problem, because as we said before, it's not a real, true avoider. But nevertheless, which one is preferable of these two options? And thus, look, the Gemara, I prefer that even though the Kohen Gadol won't be taking out the second Goyel, no, Nishkefeilach, it's better that the Skan uses right hand, so at least everything's being done by right hands and not by left hands. That's better than the Kohen Gadol using his left hand, even though we lose out that the Kohen Gadol is not doing everything. The other Yama says it's both the same, it doesn't really make a difference, and therefore we can allow the Kohen Gadol to do both, right hand and left hand, taking out first one girdle and then the other girdle. The reason why I speculated when we said the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol used both hands simultaneously, because if you're going to tell me he did it sequentially, then why can't the Kohen Gadol first take the right hand and take out one girdle, put it down, and then he can put in, take his right hand and use it a second time to take out the second Goyel. The fact that the Mishnah, the Gemara, assumes is a double poshet, that the Kohen Gadol has to take out the second Goyel with the second hand, is a similar choyer that he put them in both at the same time, or that there's some sort of a requirement that you have to continue holding on to the Goyel. Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, you're being summoned. Oh, he'll come back eventually and give us a full report. Okay? Good. Anyway, the Omar Tzavik had done in that they are both the same, and therefore that's the machloikis between our Mishnah and the Braisa as to whether the Skan participated in the drawing of the lots or the Kohen Gadol did it on his own. Right?
So let me just try to understand. So the according to Yehuda, where you have the Kohen Gadol first put his right hand in, pulled up, it's up again, Lashem. He raises his hand. Does he say Lashem?
We're not at that point yet. The moment first he takes out, according to Yehuda, he takes out his girdle, and the Skan takes out his girdle. Okay?
One second.
Everything okay?
My daughter's husband is having a meltdown.
Is he here?
Yes.
In shul?
Yes.
And what's happening to him?
He's having a meltdown.
Okay, so you're going to help him out? All right, whatever it is, Hatzlocha Rabba.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. We're going to miss you for the rest of the day.
I'm going to miss it also.
Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara here, can we be of assistance or doesn't look like it?
It's Hashem sense.
Okay, Bracha Hatzlocha.
Amen.
Yeshua is Hashem Kerefayim, right?
Amen.
That's a Medrash, right?
Right.
Like, okay, so getting back to our Gemara. Hatzlocha Rabba. Getting back to your question again. We have the Kohen Gadol, according to Rabbi Yehuda, put his hand in with his right hand, and he took out a Gadol. The Sagan took out a Gadol with his right hand. Now we look at the two Gadolas. If the Kohen Gadol was Zocha to get the Vahashem with his right hand, then we go and make the Sagan gets up and says to the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Gadol, raise your hand and show everybody that you got the winning number, so to speak. You got the Lashem. And that's what he does. On the other hand, if the Kohen Gadol drew the bad lot, getting the Azazel in his hand, so we don't want to magnify and advertise that he got the Azazel, so instead he doesn't raise his hand at all, but rather the Rosh Beis Av says to the Kohen Gadol, Taber Miloch, go and say LaHashem. Therefore everybody will know, that the Goyer LaHashem was drawn, although it wasn't drawn by the Kohen Gadol, it was drawn by the
Sagan.
Okay, so the saying Lashem is only in the second case. He doesn't say it.
That's what it sounds like. Even if you go back to the Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah on the second line, Imshol Shem Olavim Meinoi, if the Hashem came up in his right hand, Skan Imle Ishikoyim Gadol Hagbi Imincha, pick up your right hand, and then everybody will see. Oh, the Kohen Gadol has in his hands the Lashem Goyer. Imshol Shame Olav Mismoiloi, then we don't have him go. Well, the Lashon of the Mishnah is the Rish Beisav says, Hagbe Smolcha, pick up your left hand, and that's the one that says Lashem. And then the next line says, Oyim Lashem Chatzas. The Brice is slightly different, because the Brice says, going get down again 10 lines into the Gemara, in Biminishal Kohen Gadol Oyla, if he got the Lashem in his right hand, the Skan announces, Hagbe Mincha, pick up your right hand. Then the Rosh Beis Av says the Kohen Gadol Daber Miloch, say your word. And Rashi says Daber Miloch means say LaHashem Chatos. It doesn't say over here that he should pick up his left hand like we have in the Mishnah, and it doesn't say anything about when he picked it up. He doesn't say Vimshal Shem Olam Mismoilai Hag Beismolcha. Okay, that's the same thing again. Don't pick up your left hand. All he had to go and say Daber Miloch. Go and say LaHashem Chatos or LaHashem. Okay, Dr. Moravaita. So what might come if we Mar Sover Yemina the Skanodiv, the small of the Kohen, Mar Sover Yadarinil. Faithy one man, Haitana the Paligalade Rabbi Yehuda, since the Bryce is clearly Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Says, Yemor Rab Hanina Skanaki Anim, who? This is Hanina Skanaki Anim. Since he was a Skan, perhaps he is now telling us, in fact, what he did when he was in the Beis HaMikdash. Sani, like we learned at the Brisa, Reb Chanina Skana Kehanim Oimer.
This is the famous Reb Chanina
of a Pesach, Sachem Perkalos.
Yolam Lo Yisrof.
Pay for the welfare of the government.
No. Whether you're allowed to burn Truma Shnitbava Avatum with Truma Shnitbava.
That's the Chanina Skana Kehanim, the end of the first Perk of Sachem.
Yeah, that was the famous Sugya.
Yeah, exactly.
The same with Chanina.
Apparently. Yeah. Why does the Skan stand there on the right hand side of the Kohen Gadol? If the Kohen Gadol had a psul, became Tameh, the Skan would come in and he would be the backup. It sounds like he's the same person that is mentioned at the beginning of our Masechta,
yes,
that he was Maskinen Loi Kohen Acher, just in case. Only thing is, it's strange why the beginning of the Masechta doesn't refer to him as the Skan, and here we do refer to him as the Skan. But regardless, the purpose of
the Skan was, didn't we say once he became the Skan, then he couldn't, he had to be, only if he took the position, I see. So, mm-hmm. he can continue to stand as long as he never...
For the next 50 years.
Right.
So, what is Reb Chanina Sganei Kahanim tell us? That the sole duty of the Skan was to be the potential substitute if there was a problem with the Kohen Gadol. Why does the Gemara say that that's the Tana of our Mishnah? Because since Reb Yehuda said that the Skan did have some, at least minimal role, what was that? To draw the second lot. Our Mishnah, however, the Skan doesn't do anything except tell the Kohen Gadol Hag B'Yemincha. He didn't actually go and put his hand into the Kalfi. The Kohen Gadol did both. That's why the Gemara assumes that the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Chanina Sganei Kahanim, who holds that the Skan did not do anything biyadayim, he didn't do any avoda work whatsoever, even putting his hand in the kalfi. Why was he there? He was just there, just in case we're going to need a substitute Kohen Gadol. Tana Rabban. Now we're going to talk about Shimon HaTzadik and say that there was a major miracle, and then we're going to go into a few other miracles at the time of Shimon HaTzadik. For the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol HaYegoiro Oila B'Yamin. Every single year he put his hand into the Kalfi, and every single time he always got the L'Hashem in the right hand. Mikan Ve'elach, after Shimon HaTzadik was no longer the Kohen Gadol, Pa'amim Oila B'Yamin, Pa'amim Oila B'Smar. And it was, 50-50. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's right. As a given.
This is the Shimon HaTzadik who's buried in Sheikh Jarrah.
I'm assuming so.
We're having this whole thing.
I assume so. V'hoyu loshen shel Zahiris Malbin. And the loshen shel Zahiris. Now, what is this referring to? The Azazel, the Sir Azazel, had the equivalent of a ribbon on his horns. And as they pushed the Azazel down, then the Lashon Zahiris, this ribbon, would turn from red to white. The reason why it turned from red to white, this is to go and reflect what it says in the Pasuk, Em yiyu chata'eichem kashonim kasheleg yalbino. If your sins are like shani, meaning like a red ribbon, kasheleg yalbino, they're all going to turn to white like pure white snow. During the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was Kohen Gadol, this happened every single year, that the red ribbon turned to a white color, Keshel Yabir. The Kanveilich, after he no longer was Kohen Gadol, from a Malden, from a Malden, sometimes yeah, sometimes Mish. Another Nes, Vayner Maravi Doilik. Ner Maravi was always the first one, and always the last one to get extinguished. That there was always the first one, that's the rule. But what the question is, the next morning when they would come back into the Beis Hamikdash, were any of the candles still burning? The final candle that was burning was always the Ner Maravi. So even though this is the one that you started off with, it was also the final one. This is considered to be miraculous, because if it's the first one that you light, then it should be among the first that go out, not the last one. But this is the way it was always. If you take a quick look at the Rashi, which is parallel to our Gemara, Ner Maravi Dolek, La'achashakovu, Shar Kol HaNeiros, all the other Neiros went out, they were all extinguished. This one kept on burning. The Av Pishim Yimenu Maschil Hadik Arvis. Even though this was the one that they started lighting the night before, Boy Hayim Messiah. This is the last one that they were Messiah with the next day. Boy Hayim Messiah Hatovus Neir Shachris. They couldn't clean it out until it went out. Vu Edus Yashchina Shari BiYisrael Kedachsim Michus Aproichas Edus. What's the Chutz Aproichas? This is referring to the Menorah. This is the Shchina Shari BiYisrael. The fact that we see that the candle in Ner Maravi kept on being lit. It's Eidus Hilchol Boy Oilam Sheshchina Shoyra BiYisrael.
Remind me, the menorah was facing north south.
That's a very good question. In fact, what you are raising now is the next part of Rashi, that there's a machloikis whether it was north south or whether it was east west. Mm-hmm. Now you're asking which of the neiros is called the Ner Maravi.
Right, the second from the.
That you're talking from east west. And it's the second Ner starting from the east. That was the Ner Maravi. Because the very first one was the Ner Mizrahi. The one right after that was the Ner Maravi.
Shouldn't it have been the very last? I mean, you would think if it's X oriented east west, the Ner Maravi is one all the way on the west. Why is it
that? Okay, so let's look at the Rashi. Welcome back, Ramendel. Veizeu, look at the next to the last line of the Rashi. Veizeu Ner Maravi. Right? Yeah, this is to respond to your question.
Yeah.
when you get the Rashi first. Taflam etzet samad aleph.
I can hear it. Go ahead.
Ner sidurim mizrach umarav. Kari ner marav ner sheini. This is the second one after the Ner Harishon, which was the Mizrahi. The one immediately after that was the Ner Maravi. Kidanam, like it says in Masechet Tamid, Nech Masechet Amotish Teineris, Mizrahi Yisokais. The first one was the Mizrahi, the second one was called the Maravi. Laman Diyamar holds itself in the Dorim Nesunim. That was the other Man Diyamar. So which one is the Ner Maravi? All of them are exactly the Mizrahi and they're all Maravis. Says Rashi, the middle one had its wick towards the Marav side. You bent over the wick towards the Marav, towards the Hechel. That was the name Maravi. And all the other six, to the right and to the left, their wicks were in the direction of the middle Ner, smack in the middle. So those were all regular Neris, and the one in the middle, that was the name Maravi, because it was towards the Hechel.
So the middle.
Okay. Middle was the Maravi.
It was pushed. They were all facing this way, and this one was facing
tomorrow. Okay.
Right. Next week, Cedra has the grid.
Kindly put your phones on mute because we hear some background noise.
Shut for Friday.
Please put your.
Hello? Robert, please mute your phone.
I need one white for Friday.
Please mute your phone because we hear the background conversation. Okay, thank you.
This next week's Sedra, I think, isn't it?
About the conversation?
No, I'm open every Nora.
Yes, that's Baloischa. Yeah, exactly. All right, so back, you're very welcome. So getting back to our Gemara again. Nochmo. So the third Ness, we had the first Ness with the right Goyro came up, Lashem. The second Ness was, it was Lashem. Always Malvin by the Lashem Shul Sahiris. And now number three, Oiner Marovi, Doilek Mikan, the Eila. Doilek, it was always at the name Marovi. Was always still lit in the morning, even after the others were extinguished. But after the 40 years, sometimes yet, sometimes fish. Nest number four. The halach is in the Torah. Uvir oleh hakoyin eitzim ba boiker that you have to put on shnei gziri eitzim in the morning. What about putting eitzim during the day? So during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, it was not necessary to add additional wood throughout the day. Those shnei gziri eitzim did a perfect job. And therefore, even though tons of kabbanis were being burned on top of those shnei gziri eitzim, they continued to burn and to burn and to burn. However, after the 40 years were up, mikan ve'eilach, sometimes you had to add wood, and sometimes you did not have to add wood. And as a result, the Kehanim could not refrain from putting on Eitzim on the Maracha during the day, during those times where unfortunately the Shnei Gziri Eitzim did not last the whole day. Then unfortunately they had to add more Eitzim on those days. Another Ness, the Nishtalcha Bracha Va'Oimer B'Shtei Alechem U'Balechem Apanim. There was a special Bracha in the Karban Oimer, which is brought on the first day Chol HaMoed, Shtei Alechem, which is brought on Shavuos, Lechem Apanim every single Shabbos. What Bracha was there? V'chol Koyin Shemagiyoi Kezayis Yesh Oichlu V'Saveya V'Yesh Oichlu U'Moisir. Every Koyin got a Kezayis of the Oimer Shtei Alechem or Lechem Apanim, and there were some that ate it and they were now full, they didn't have to eat for the rest of the day. The Yesh Oichel, and some said, this is so filling, Umayzer, I can't even finish my Kezayis. That was a special bracha at the times of Shimon HaTzadik. After Shimon HaTzadik, Nishtalcha Me'era, unfortunately, a curse settled in. Every Koyin no longer got the shear of a Kezayis. They only got the shear of a Kepul. A pul means like a bean, like you have in the Cholim, it's a small bean. Hatznu Moishchunas Yedeim. Those that were more refined said, what can you do with a pull? A pull has obviously such a small shear, I'm not going to bother, I'm not going to eat. I got grunim, however, those that were more gluttonous and wanted to eat, they would go and take not only their portions, but they would go and take over the leftover portions of their brethren, the kahanim, that were tsnuin, that would not eat. It was a person that took his chedek and someone else's chedek. But you call an oisai ben chamtzan, and they called him ben chamtzan. And Taprashi says that means chamtzan means gazlan. Now the obvious question is, we just said now that this wasn't just one individual. All these gar geronin were neutlin v'oichlin. So why did pint one guy, not v'chelke v'chelke haveri, why was he branded ben chamtzan? All of these gluttons, it could have been 5 or 10 or 20, they should all have had this beautiful name of the ben chamtzan. So that's the top toises, that's that question. In fact, it's not only the top toises, it's the bottom toises, it's the only toises here on the Amud. Zoktoises, avu pishagam gar geronim achedim choytfin v'oichlin kamoise. A whole bunch of gluttons that did like him. Why did he get this beautiful title? Toisa says two reasons. Because there were other gluttons that took double or triple portions, and this Ben Chamtzan stole from another glutton his portion. So therefore he was a ganav min a ganav, so that's why they called him as a ganav. That was pshat one. Inami achirim lehikpidu kishahoyu choytfin zemizeh. Since it was basically take whatever you want, because the tznuin left their portions on the table, so everybody could take whatever they want. So, even though there were gluttons, but they were not makban on each other. If this one wanted to take more, to take less, do whatever you want. Avul zeh kishazeh chotam miyadoi hikpid. If somebody took the Ben Chamtzan's portion, oh, what are you doing? This is my portion. Even though all the other gluttons also took portions, but at least they were idle mention in the sense that, okay, you want a little more, isn't I take, you could take another piece, you could take another piece, it's fine, yeah, I'll take another. But the Ben Chamtzan, he was very, very makbid on his portions, and therefore he got branded this title of the Ben Chamtzan. Now the question is, where does the word Chamtzan come
from? Before we go there, so there was a pool or a pesayas, sometimes it was... At the time of Shimon HaTzadik,
it was always a shir kazayis for everybody.
Why was it just a nace that it had a bigger role?
It expanded. It was a byproduct. It probably expanded more, you know.
It's all miraculous.
Right?
So, everybody had a shir kazayis after he passed away. Unfortunately, everybody got a shir like a pulp, like the size of a
baby. And for the shnuim, they want to do it because they put a shafak of bracha achrona, maybe, or
that could be too. Could be that was part of their cheshbon. Could also be the cheshbon was that they only have a mitzvah to eat if it's a shir kazayis. They felt there's no mitzvah, and that's why they just left it. Based on this, as a Briskarov writes in his sefer, based on this gemara, whether or not he has a oshtikol toira, whether or not there's a minimum shir for a kohen to eat to be mekayim the mitzvah of eating kachim. The kapara is affected by eating the kachim. Question is, every time a shir is achilas b'kazayis. From our gemara's mashma, no, that they even gave less than a kazayis, there was only kippur. So the tznuim said, it's not worth my while, not worth my time, it's not going to be must be anyway. But doesn't mean that there wasn't a mitzvah to eat it. So there's eshtikot torah about that. But getting back to Agamara now, why did he get the name Ben Chamtzan Adyon Moise until the day that he passed away? What's happened Ben Chamtzan? Where's the word Chamtzan come from? So Gemara brings two rayas from Psukim in the Torah, Omer Rabba Barav Shila, Maikra, Elakai Palteni Miyad Rosha, Mikaf Ma'avel V'choymet. We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Palteni, save us from the Ma'avel, the one that's doing Avlis, he's doing evil things, V'choymet, and the one that is stealing, the burglar, the robber. So we see that the Choymet is related to Ben Chamtzan. Rav Mihochev, another writes, is Pasuk Limdu Heitev, Dir Shumishpat, Ashru Chomoitz, Ashru Chomoitz, V'alta Ashru Chomet. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Bima Ashru Chomoitz, help out the victim of this theft, the Chomoitz, the one that is the subject of the theft, he was stolen from, but V'alta Ashru Chomoitz, but don't help out the Chomoitz, the Chamtzan who did the thievery in the first place. Tanurban, Oisishana Shemes Ba Shimon HaTzadik, the year that Shimon HaTzadik passed away, Omulahem. Shimon HaTzadik came out on Yom Kippur and he told her, Oilam, Bishana Zu, who mess. Unfortunately, I see that I, Shimon HaTzadik, am going to pass away, Cholida, this year. Omulah, they said, Minayin, after your day, how do you know? Omulahem, he told them, Chol Yom HaKippurim, for the last 40 years, every Yom Kippur, Hayim Ezdaman Li Zokin Echad, Lovish Levanim, the Otif Levanim. Every year, as I'm going into the Kodesh Kedoshim, someone accompanied me. A person in Zokin who was wearing white clothing. Nichlas imi, v'yotze imi. He used to come in with me, and he would leave with me. Vayoyim, and today, on Yom Kippur, is damen liyizokin echad, nochem ulezokin, but this time is lovish shchoyrim, v'otiv shchoyrim, he was wearing black clothing. Nichlas imi, he went in with me, v'layotze imi, he didn't come out.
So I
see, it's very sad. So you see from the two simonim, that until now it was levonim and now shchoyrim, and until now he would come out, and this time he stayed in. It looks like I'm not going to survive the year, and in fact, achar regel, after Yom Tov, meaning after Sukkis, Chola Shiva Yomim, he became sick for 7 days, Umeis Nebuch Rachman Aslan, and Shimon HaTzadik passed away. The Nimnu Echav HaKahanim of the Varach B'Shem, and from that point on, the Kahanim, when they dichened, no longer wanted to go and say the Shem Havaya, the way one would say it in the Beis Hamikdash, Yud Kei Vavkei. From that point on, they only say the Shem Adnus, like we say it and like they say it today. Now, there are two questions in this Gemara. Question number one is, how can anyone go in together with Shimon HaTzadik in the Kodesh Kodashim? Pasuk says, V'chol Odom lo yeh bi'oyel moyed, v'voyel l'chaper b'kodesh ad tzeisoy. So what does everybody say? It's not talking about a human being, it's talking about a malach. So just coincidentally, I happen to have over here a Gemara Menachos, and in fact, the Tosis at the very end of Menachos. Menachos is 110 Blat Kuf Yud, and on Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis, right before the end of the Masechta, we have this same Gemara. It says, Nizdamen li zokin echad lovish levanim, b'Yerushalmi parech, v'haksiv v'chol odom l'yeh b'oyel mayed. And the Yerushalmi says, "Va'afilu malachim." We're not only talking about people, but even malachim. How do I know? Because here it says, "V'chol adam." It doesn't say "V'cholish." V'chol adam liyeh be'ol moed. And in the beginning of Yecheskel, when you have the Mas Merkava, which we learned on Yontif, it says, "Va'afilu malachim tichsev udmus pneim pnei adam," that their facial features were like those of a person. Therefore, the Yerushalmi Darshan of Chol Odom means not only people, even Malachim. So, who was this Zokin Echad? Umishani, and the Yerushalmi answers, the Shema Shechina Hoysa. Maybe the Shechina was accompanying the Shemin HaTzadik every year. Lovish Levonim, V'otav Levonim. This year, the Shechina was wearing black, and he knew that this is going to be a black year. And even though black lives matter, but nevertheless,
What's the Lashon there of the Shechina?
You see the top toises?
Yeah.
Feel free to look at it. Follow the front, beginning to end. See top toises?
Yeah.
You're looking at Kuf Yud. Look at Kuf Tesam and Beis.
What's Lashon? Lovish Levanim, the Otif Levanim, Lovish for Otif.
Yeah. So do you have an explanation?
I'm wondering.
Otif usually means Atifas Harosh.
Okay.
So presumably it's saying that just like the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Vigdor Lavan, he was also wearing a Mitznefes and a Mikbas made out of boots out of white. Okay.
Unfortunately, I left my phone at home this morning, so I can't. But
okay, if you leave it open at the end, I can go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's item one. Now the next question is: why did the Kahanim no longer want to go and bench with the Shema Mafoydish?
Yeah.
So Rashi says at the top, Shaloi Hoyu Kedai. They were not roi. See the Rashi in the third line: Levorach B'Shem and Levorach Bichas Kahanim Eso On B'Shem Mafoydish. They felt that they were no longer worthy after Shimon HaTzadik's passing. Now you'll notice before the word Shaloi that there is an asterisk, and that asterisk takes us to the Gilin HaShas, and the Gilin HaShas says, why don't you look up the Toises in Soita and Daf Lamed Ches? And that's what I did. And I just coincidentally happened to have a Gemara Soita here on Daf Lamed Ches. And Toises talks about over there, it's actually a Gemara first talks about, it says, Haru Oymer, B'chol HaMokam Mesher Ovei Eilecha Ovei Rachticha. What is this all about? Tani b'sifri b'chol mokam esher nimigla, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megal himself, he reveals himself. Shamte masker Hashmi, there you can go be masker Hashem's name. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my shechina is in the base of English, you're allowed to go and say the Hashem's name, the Shema Mefoydish Yud Kei Vav Kei. Then he brings it to the end. Ay, b'nira, d'mizeh hatam, says Toises, Nimnu Kehanim Levorech V'Shem HaMiyuchad Mishemeis Shimon HaTzadik Kinamrina Yiperek Torah Kalti, like it says in our Mishnah and Daf in Yuma Daf Lamedes Lefishloi Zochu Shuv Legilui Shechina. After Shimon HaTzadik passed away, they were no longer Zeichet to the Gilui Shechina. That's why they didn't feel empowered to be able to go and say the Shema Mefoydish as part of the Birchas Kahal.
But Tosis on, God owns, so do I assume?
Doesn't say.
But that was part of the
Lord. What you're saying makes sense, but at least not part of the Birchas Kahal. This Gemara is referring specifically to Birchas Kahal, to Duchenne. Now, the Gemara is a little bit shver, because we said back at the end of the previous perek, I think it was Chafala from the Beis, if I'm not mistaken, that there were five things missing in the second Beis Hamikdash. What were those five things? One of the things was that they were missing the Shechemah. Yeah?
Well, they were missing the Aron, right?
Yeah, and other things too. But we're talking specifically about the Shechemah. Here on Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, it's because it says in the Pasuk, the Eretz Boy, the Ikoved, instead of the Ikovda, Tarash Limora, the first are the ones that our good friend Reb Simcha Ilan has just told us, the Oren Kaparis Kruvim, the Oren and its lid and the Kruvim was missing, Eish Min HaShemayim Ushchena V'ruach HaKodesh V'ur Matum. All of these were not in the second Beis Hamikdash. Now we know that Shimon HaTzadik was Kohen Gadol in the second Beis Hamikdash. How do we know that he was in the tzaddik in the second Beis Hamikdash? We have this back on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. When we said in the second Beis Hamikdash, there were altogether 300 Kehanim Gedolim, but the vast majority were not Moitzi Shnason. Why? So we said back on the third line, Tzei Mehem Mem Shana Shashimish Shimon HaTzaddik U'Shemoinim Shashimish Shechim Koyim Gadol. We spoke about him yesterday. Esu Shashimish Shmuel Ben Pavi Be'amilo Yeral Shashimish Shablaz Ben Chasim. Both of them, their mothers made for them the expensive clothing. We spoke about that on Sunday in Erev Yom Tov. Anyway, so we see Shimon HaTzaddik was in the second Beis Hamikdash, and he was the Shimon HaTzaddik for 40 years. And it said in the second Beis Hamikdash there were no Shechina. And here we're saying when he passed away, there was no Shechina. So either you have to say that the Gemara on Daf Chof Aleph from Beis is referring to post his passing. The Shechina was there for the first 40 years, but after that it left. Or that there were Dargis of Shechina. That in the first Beis Hamikdash they had Shechina with capital Shin. In the times of Shimon HaTzaddik they had Shechina with a small Shin. And after he passed away there was no Shechina at all.
Because we saw also by the Eish, for example, the Matzah says that, well, they never ate it. The Beis and the Shemayim used to be able to eat through everything in the first Beis Hamikdash. So he was there. They didn't have the same kodesh. So they were still with exactly what you're saying.
Good. So you're probably bringing a tiny to Messiah. Very nice. Shkoyach. Anyway, so bottom line is that's why they felt that they no longer had the authority and ability to go and say the Shema Farish during the Dichanim, so after Shema Tzadik, no more, and he didn't say them. Yes,
that's a strong question. When they, was it the Kahanim, was it the Sanhedrin, was it the Kedah, I mean, who
made these decisions?
Yes.
Rashi just says, they felt, Melvarach B'Shem, the Kahanim felt Shaloi Hayu Kedai, that they were not right.
Okay, but, yeah,
1 second. There was a special Bezdin for the Kahanim that sat in the Lishkas Agozis and dealt with all Kohanic issues, such as
Judge Parva, when he caught him.
Number one. Number two, every single Kohen that wanted to do the Avodah before he was inaugurated, he had to go and bring his Yichas brief, and they had to go and check all of his bona fides to determine whether or not he was a kosher Kohen or whether Chas V'Shalom he was a Cholo. So there was a Kahanim's Bezdin that was in charge of all Kahanic matters and all Avodah matters in the Beis Hamikdash. So presumably that Bezdin is the one that made the decision. However, the Gemara doesn't mention just the Beninu Echav Kahanim that they themselves felt no longer had the ability or authority to be able to say Hashem's name. But you're right, it could be that the Bezdin made that ultimate decision. Tana Rabban, let's get back
to Achar Regel Cholosh. We have we said that, sorry.
Yeah, we're up to Tana Rabban. Now for 40 years before the Chorban, the second Beis Hamikdash was 420 years. After 380 years, there are 40 years left. Was no longer Oyla B'Yamin. So therefore the first 40 years in time of Shimon HaTzaddik, it was always Oyla B'Yamin. After that, for the next 340 years, Amul Yo, Amul Nesht. Then finally the last 40 years, unfortunately, it always came up this way, which obviously was a bad omen. Unfortunately, the Lashon Zahiris no longer changed from red to white. And the Ner Maravi never was the final Ner that was lit the next morning. And the doors of the Heichel would open up on their own. The reason why they were opening up on their own, as we'll see in the Gemara, another few lines, this was a siman, an omen, that unfortunately the Beis Hamikdash is soon going to be open to the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and is soon going to be destroyed by the enemies of Klal Yisrael. And, as the Gemara is going to tell us now, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was very upset because he understood that message. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai shouted and screamed at those Dalta Sahechel. Omaloi, Heichel, Heichel! Why are you causing... The word mavis is a lotion of trembling, of fear. Why are you bringing fear upon yourself? In other words, why are you intimidating yourself? We're not at the point of the charvin. It's going to happen. Zachariah, that's from the famous Zachariah of the Trei Asar. So he said in Zachariah, what does it say? Psach levonim delasecha, v'soichel eish ba'arozecha. What does that mean? That when the Pesach of Levonim over here is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, why the Beis HaMikdash was called Levonim, we'll see in another line, because it's Malbin Abrisein Shlo Yisrael, you were able to go and bring your Karban Chatos, your Karban Osham, even your Karban Oila, which was Mechaper on an Asay, and a Lav, Hanitik La'asay. Then we had a Shaila, Machloikis, and the Gemara, where it's also for the Leket Shekubaya, and for the Issa Nevela, you all recall, we learned that on Yontif. Anyway, but the point is, that's why I got the name Levonim, because it's Malbin Abisein Shul Yisrael, it brings atonement and kapara. So, Zachari said, Psach Levonim to Lasecha. Beis Hamikdash, open up your doors, Seichel Eish Barazecha, because the enemies of Klal Yisrael are coming in, and they're going to burn down and be Macher of the Beis Hamikdash. So, that's why Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, it's premature. Leave the doors closed as long as possible. You, Heichel, Heichel, don't let your doors open up automatically on their own. Make sure that they close properly until the time will come. Chas v'shalom. Because the Avedis of Klal Yisrael turned white in the Beis Hamikdash. Omer Rav Zitzur Bar Tuvim, Lama Nikra Shmo Yad. Besides the Beis Hamikdash having the name Levonin, it's also called Yad. Tichsiv Beis Yar HaLevonin. How did it get that name? Loi Meloch Mayar Melavlev Af Beis Hamikdash Melavlev. Melavlev means a forest. In the forest you have trees that typically are blooming and blossoming. So he said that the reason why Beis Hamikdash is called Yar, because in the Beis Hamikdash you also saw that blooming and blossoming. Where? The Omer Rav Hoshea, we had this commodity before. This was a daily miracle that happened for a number of years. So Rav Hoshea, Bishar, Shabbana, Shleim, Beis Hamikdash, when Shleim Melech built the Beis Hamikdash, not the boy, he planted kol minei megodim shelzov. He planted all different types of beautiful delicacies made out of gold. In other words, they were not your regular apple seeds or orange seeds, but seeds that produced golden peyrois, voyemetzian peyrois bismanein, and at the time of the harvest, they would go and blossom and bloom peyrois made out of gold. The kimsha ruach when Hashem is behind, and when the wind or there would be a draft that would blow on them, voyenoishrin peyrosein, then the peyrosein either they would bang against one another, there would be a rustling of the leaves and they would bang, or they would fall to the ground. Shenema yirash kalavonin peyroi, levonin again meaning the Beis Hamikdash. Yirash, you would hear the rash, the commotion, the noise of these rustling peyros that fell. What did they do with these peyros? The Kahana were able to take them and sell them and make money to be able to have parnasa. Once the goyim came in to make charvin in the Beis Hamikdash, yavshu, all of these peyros dried out. Shneimar, says the pasuk, uferach levonin umlal. And unfortunately, these parochim and their umlal nebuch, they are no longer blossoming. They're all dried out. We're going to have these golden peyrois. So the Kavod Halvana will be restored. We'll be able to see these golden peyrois grow. Right, it says in the Mishnah, Nosnan al Shnei Asirim, you put down the gorillas on the two Seirim. Tarabam, Esther Pam Maska Koyin Godel Es Hashem, Boy Bayon. 10 times the Koyin Godel said the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMafoyrish, on Yom Kippur. Gimu Bavida Rishon, 3 times in the first Vida. Shloish Bavida Sheni, 3 times in the second Vida. Shloish Bavisire, Surah Mishalech. Echad Big Goy Rolais. And what means 3 Bavidoy Rishon? So we already spoke about the Vidoy Rishon a few days ago in the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah ended off, and they all said, Baruch Shem Kavoyim Malchus Eliyahu. Right? If you want to look back on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, we have the bottom of the Mishnah. It says, Umisvada Vekacho Yoimer, Ono Hashem, Ovisi Bishat, Matos Venecha, and Yavesi, Ono Hashem, Kapin Alabi. Sorry?
Hashem is a Bashem.
Okay, in the Mishnah it says Hashem. The reason why you're saying Vashem is because you're obviously familiar with the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi has a different girsa of Ona Vashem. If you want to see it with your own eyes, it's Lamed Hey Amid Beis, 35b, and it's probably 35b, 3 or 4 or 5, because it's the last one for 35b. But the Lashon HaMishnah is Ona Hashem, but the Yerushalmi says Ona Vashem. How do I know that Yerushalmi says that? Because it's the last Tosis on Lamed Hey Amid Beis. He quotes Yerushalmi that says that the second time it's Ona Vashem. Shkoyach. Anyway, that's only two times it says Ona Hashem and Ona Hashem or Ona Vashem. So how does it say it's three altogether? Because he continues on saying, That's the third Shem that the Kohen Gadol said at the time of that vidui. So that was the vidui Rishon on his part. And you're wondering to yourself, well, what is this vidui Sheni all about? I never heard of a vidui Sheni. Rashi and Chumash Karada brings it. However, we have it in the Mishnah. If you go on to Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, the next Mishnah, Mi'at Hashem, we're going to learn on the Amid Beis, Mem Aleph Amid Beis, skipping the first four lines. Again, we're talking about still that same path. See, go back to the third line. He comes back to his par a second time. Another smicha. Another vidui. Ona Hashem. Again, Ona Hashem. And again, Simcha is going to correct me. Ona Vashem. And then it says Kapra No. And then he brings the pasuk. Ki v'yoy mazei yechap alecha tari esam yikol chazreng l'anin Hashem titaru. Says Lofnei Hashem. So you have the three times. So that was the first time by the par, second time by the par, and the third time by the Sur Mishaleach. He also said the same type of vidui, and again, 3 times 3 is 9, and the 10th time here is by Unz, by the Goyro, he says, Lahashem. Zerfai. Continuing the Gemara. Ukvar Omer Hashem, when he would say Hashem, and Ishmael Kodim Yericho, he could hear all the way to Yericho. The Kohen Gadol obviously had a very powerful voice, or, miraculously, it traveled all the way from Yerushalayim to Yericho. Omer Rav Bachana, Yerushalayim to Yericho is Asura Parsois. From Yerushalayim to Yericho is 10 parsois altogether. Now every parsa is, you help me out with the arithmetic over here. Every parsa is 4 mil. Does that sound right? 4 mil? Every mil is 2,000 amos, which means every parsa is 8,000 amos. If you go according to the largest shiurim for the amos, an amma is 2 feet, so 8,000 amos means 16,000 feet in one parsa. Every single mile is 5,280 feet. How many times do you have 5,280 in 16,000? You have 3 times, right? 3 times 5,000 would be 15,000. 3 times another 280 would get you to another 840. So we're almost at 3 miles. About 3 miles. And that's one parsa. Here we're talking about 10 parsois, which means that his voice went and traveled altogether for 30 miles from Yerushalayim to Yericho. The tzir of Dalta Seichel, we just spoke about Dalta Seichel, so the hinges of the Dalta Seichel, they made some noises, apparently they didn't spray whatever the name of that spray is.
WD-40.
Oh, WD-40, exactly. Nishma, you could hear it, Bishmoinet Chumei Shabbos, you could hear it, 8 Chumei Shabbos. 8 Chumei Shabbos, of course, is 2,000 Amos, so this is 8 times the 2,000 Amos, 16,000 Amos. You can hear it 16,000 Amos away. Izub Shibiricha Yumis Achois Mireich Haktoiris. The goats in Yericho would smell the Reich HaKtoiris from the base of English and Misatreis, and they would go and sneeze. In fact, some people say that that's the word Misatreis comes from the word Achoo! Misatreis. They would go and sneeze Reich HaKtoiris. Noshim Shibericho, Einan Tzrichel Hizbasi Reich HaKtoiris. The women that lived in Yericho did not have to go and put on perfume because they were automatically perfumed the Reich HaKtoiris. If you had a kal in Yishalayim, she didn't have to go and put on perfume. Now the word miskashet is a little bit stronger than the word mispasein. Mispasein means to be perfumed. The miskashet means that you put on a whole bunch of makeup. A kal obviously has to be the focus of attention of her chosen and everybody else. So therefore she has to put on, I guess, additional layers of makeup. So regular women outside Yerushalayim, in Yericho, for instance, they didn't have to put on perfume because they were naturally perfumed from the Reach HaKodesh. In Yerushalayim, the Kala who needs to put on even more, in Yerushalayim she didn't have to bother because of the Reach HaKodesh. Apparently the Kala in Yericho would have had to put on more, but not in Yerushalayim. Now the obvious question that Barry is probably thinking
the
about.
The family that never had a, the family that made a Torah, they never had. But yes, their daughters never.
Oh, right, they were allowed to.
Right. What's the pshat there now?
Because everybody smelled from the Reich, apparently.
That was only on Yom Kippur, though, maybe.
No, all year long.
You don't have to go back so far because it was Ramat Chesam Aleph. And Ramat Chesam Aleph, the Gemara said that in Dover Echad, the Chachamim were Mashbiach them Lashvach. What was that? That they didn't allow for any of their daughters.
Or
daughters-in-law. While Dover Zem Maskin Ois Lashvach, it's 10 lines from the bottom. May Oilam, Leyotis Kala Mivusemes Mibateyen, Ukishinoisen Ishim and Mokamacher, Masn Imot, there was a special condition, Shloitis Basin. People shouldn't say that to you from the Masik.
So getting back to this question here.
Yes.
It's a very interesting question. The word discashate, as you pointed out,
yeah,
means to put on, not just to put on kadish, but make a
Here we're not talking about the eye makeup, we're talking about additional layers of perfume. Because the
prayer is only the basim is, I thought, perfume, right?
I agree with you. So what's the difference between mispasim and miskashet?
So I might suggest that.
Yes.
The Reach of the Ketores was so
pervasive,
so, right, that you didn't need the rest of it. In other words, because you were so close and you should want, you were going to need it because it was just like a buzz, but it was
so. They didn't have to put on lipstick and they didn't have to put on mascara and lipstick and rouge. If perfume has such miraculous properties that it can cause the lips to become red and to have black on top of their eyelids and stuff like that, that's great. It's beautiful. Normally you would think that Reich HaKodesh can only affect perfume qualities and not the Shmira qualities.
Invisible, it's not visible.
But if you feel that way, that's okay.
Oskol says,
yes,
that's it. But adornment requires a greater degree of perfuming than the perfuming of a woman.
Oh, it's a great degree of perfuming.
Of incense suffices for bride Yerushalayim. To pay the fragrance that each Yericho was only for an ordinary. Therefore, bride in Yericho would have to put on further perfuming.
Oh, so it's perfuming. We agree. So we were saying exactly the same thing. That if you're talking about a regular woman in Yericho, yes, she had the normal madrega, the normal level of perfume that a normal woman would wear. A kal, however, perfumes herself even more. Maybe she puts on double, triple, whatever the amount is, and she'll last not for 3 hours, she'll last for 10 hours. In Yerushalayim it was not necessary, but if she would be in Yericho, it would be necessary. Good. Sure.
The vidoy that he made each time.
He said each time, yeah.
Was it before was spritzing the down?
No, at the moment we're talking about two parim and one third of
lavish. Smicha,
the
smicha,
smicha,
smicha.
So the smicha, and then
So assuming that this was the animal.
No, Hashem. That's a different vidoy.
That's the one of achas, achas, viachas, achas, v'shtayim. Here we're talking about putting the hands on the head. In fact, he skipped over that.
Vada on the animal.
The soymech shtei yod of olav, he puts the smicha on top of the head of the animal, v'svada v'kachal yo'imer on Hashem, etc. That was back on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, the Mishnah on the back of the Amid, 35b, the last three lines, start the Mishnah, bolei eitzel paroi, he came to his par, next line, the soymech shtei yod of olav, he did smicha on the head, on v'svada, he said, v'kachal yo'imer on Hashem. He did this again on Daphne Malav, Amid Beis, and he did a third time at the time of Sir Lazarus.
No, he did quite twice the part
once. So what's with the base of Tinas and the girls?
First time he did it for himself. Perfume. He's got the same as one.
Presumably it's a different level of perfume or different smell and different type of perfume. As you know, even today you can buy 100 different types of perfume. Okay, say more about it. Omer Reb Yoisi Bel Dulgoi, on the side says slightly different name. Izim Hoyu Le Abba, my father owned goats. Bahare Michmor, on the side it said Bahare Machfor, it's a different place. I was there, I heard it. Those Izim, they were Misatish, they would go and sneeze from the Reich HaKodesh. Omer Bchir Bar Abin, Omer Reb Yishu Ben Karcha, Sachli Zuk and Echad. Pam achas alachti v'shilei. One time I went to Shilei. Nehirachti reyach k'toyres mizein koisler. And I could still smell the reyach of the k'toyres from the walls in Shilei.
Wow. Now
what does that mean?
Hundreds of years before. Wow.
So we're not talking about the reyach k'toyres from the Beis Hamikdash going all the way to Shilei, but we're talking about the reyach k'toyres that was in the Mishkan Shilei at the time that the Mishkan Shilei was standing. Now, when was the Mishkan Shilei standing? Remember that the first Beis Hamikdash was 410 years. Second Beis Hamikdash was 420. If you add those together, you get to 830. In between, you had 70 years. 70 years now is 900 years altogether. And now, Rabbi Shu ben Korcha is telling us, post the second Beis Hamikdash, that Ezekin Echad said that I visited Shilei once and I could still smell the reich of the psalmim of the Ktoiris in Shilei. And the Chorban of Shilei was many years before the first Beis Hamikdash. We're talking about something in the range of 1,000 years before. You could still smell the Reich HaKadosh 1,000 years later. Omer Rav Yanai, Aliyas Goyim Mitoich Kalfi Me'akeves, Hanocha Eina Me'akeves, meaning the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, to select which sort of Hashem, which sort of Azazel, you had to go and take the girdle out of the Kalfi. You didn't have to put it down on the animals. If the Kohen Gadol says, I don't want to touch animals, I'm not, you know.
Well, should be Kohen Gadol, then.
He was a sheepish type of fellow. He didn't want to touch the sheep or to touch the goats. He said, I'm not putting it down. As long as he pulled it out of the Kalfi and said, this is Lashem, this is Lazozel, that's already enough. Hanoch is not Ma'akev.
You said it wasn't an Avoda. Such Ma'akev sounds suddenly like we're saying, oh, it is an Avoda.
Just wait. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Af Aliyah Eina Ma'akevus. Even taking it out of the Kalfi is not Ma'akev. If you're not going to take it out of the Kalfi, how are you going to determine which one is Hashem, which one is Azazel? So Rashi says, he's just going to go and say, Ini, Mini, Mini, Mo. No difference than any other time throughout the year. If I want to bring a Korban Chatos, it's not born a Korban Chatos. I have to consecrate. I have to say, this behemoth is a Chatos. So the Kohen Gadol could theoretically, on Yom Kippur, say, you, Goyro, you, Sir Hashem, and you, the other Sir, you're Azazel. So even Ali is not ma'akev according to Rabbi Yechon.
Is that not brought in the Torah?
Of course it's brought in the Torah, but it's not ma'akev. Ma'akev means l'chatchila, it's a mitzvah to do it that way. But if the Kohen Gadol messed up, either intentionally or unintentionally, and he said, you are La Hashem and you are La Azazel, it also worked according to Rabbi Yechon. According to Rabbi Yechon, it didn't work. It's ma'akev. It didn't work. Talk to you about Ali with the beauty of the Amad Dvar Manasim, the big day, love me, b'chutz, lo'i ma'akva, kuli alma, lo'i pligir, lo'i ma'akva. So Rashi brings that there's a machloek between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya by those items of the avoida that were done the big day lavan in bachutz. In bachutz means not inside the kodesh kadoshim, not inside the heichal, but done inside the azara. Inside the azara, the kohen gadol was wearing big day lavan. Why would they wearing big day zav? And the answer is, we started off a couple of mishnayos ago that the kohen gadol went to the mikveh and he put on his big day zav, and after that he brought the karban tamid and they did all of the items involving the karban tamid, and now finished with karban tamid, and now we're going to do the avodos shel oisah hayon. He put on the big day lavan. The first thing that he did was he went in ulam lamizbeach. He had his par and he went and did the vidoy and the smicha like we just went through. When he was finished with that, he now returned to the Mizrach side of the Azara, still wearing the Big Day Lavan, because after all, the Big Day Lavan are the ones that he's going to wear for the Par and Tzor as he goes Bifnim into the Heichal and into the Kodesh Kadosh. So he was already wearing the Big Day Lavan at this time, and these are Dvar Manasim Big Day Lavan, but they're done Mi Bachutz, outside of the Kodesh Kadosh, and outside of the Heichal. Are these items Ma'akiv or not? They are not mi'akva. According to Rabbi Nechemya. So now there are certain things which are ma'akev and certain things which are not ma'akev. What do you mean certain things? Because after all, there are avoides. Until now we're talking about vidoy and we're talking about selecting which goyrel and which animal. That's not an avoid yet. However, the kohen goyrel had to go and shecht the har, and he had to shecht the soil. Where did that shechita take place? It took place in the azara. So that was certainly ma'akev. What about these other things? So again, Omer Rabbi Yanai Elias Goy B'Tor Kalfi Ma'akevus Anoch Eni Ma'akevus. Rabbi Yochanan says Afaliyah Eni Ma'akevus. That's Aliyah Rabbi Yudah the Omer Devar Manasim B'Big Dilovim B'Chutz uloy ma'akva. The reason why we're focusing on that is because the Torah says in Parshas Achrei Mois that all the special avodos that were done in Yom Kippur is chok oilam. It's a chukas oilam derisaychem, there's a chok forever and ever. Question is, whenever it says the word chukah, that means it's ma'akev. Does that apply to every single detail or not? So Rabbi Yehuda says, woman asked, be the lum b'chutz le'makev. That's not ma'akev. If it's inside the Migdalum b'chutz, inside the Azar, not Makiv. Kuli Alma le'bliga the Makiv. If that's the case, it's not Makiv. Meaning, even the Aliyah min ha'goyrel ain't a Makivis, but the Kohen Gadol could say, you're La'ashem and you're La'azos. Keep liga libra m'chemi. The m'chemi that says that even Dvar Manasseh Migdalum b'chutz are Makiv. Mandiyam ma'akva krim m'chemi. If you hold that it's Makiv, in other words, that was Rabbi Yanai that says Aliyah is Makiv, he holds that krim m'chemi. Everything inside the Azar is Makiv. What's the next word?
Avoid.
Hani mili avoid. Hagrol alav avoidehi. When you're talking about avoidehi, that's Makiv. Even in the Chemi that said that everything is Makiv and avoid is Makiv. Hagrol is not Makiv because it's not avoid. Good. Ikliyama, that's the first version. Ikliyama li rabbi Chemi di om ma'akva kuliyama li pligi de ma'akva. According to Chemi that said everything is Makiv. It's ma'akiv, and therefore make sure the aliyah is done. You have to pull the two, you have to snatch out the two gerolas from the kafir. Keep the Rabbi Yehuda. Madi amalei ma'akva kirbi Yehuda. He holds not ma'akiv, and that's why it says le ma'akiv. Madi amalei ma'akva, why would it be ma'akiv? I, Rabbi Yehuda, says that all those things with big, they love and bazar are not ma'akiv. Why would the gerolas be ma'akiv? Shani hachem, the ton of Beikra. The Torah repeats the word asher ola trei zimni. We have the benefit of the two psukim in the Torah Arash Shalim. V'ikabaharan es asor asher ola olav ha'goyro la'Hashem v'asol chatos. V'asor asher ola olav ha'goyro la'azazo. Why do we have to say ola olav? After all, we know that this goyro, this became la'Hashem l'chatos, and this is for azazo. It should say v'asor asher la'Hashem do the following, and the sor which is asher la'azazo do the following. Why does he asher ola twice? Trezimni, so like we have in Kodshim, that whenever by Kodshim you find Shana Lava Kodshim, Torah repeats it to tell you, not only is it mitzvah, it's but mitzvah. I mean it. You have it's ma'akev. Good. I have a price. It says, mitzvah l'hagro. If you were not magril, kosher, b'diyevit, it's kosher. Even if you didn't take out the garogas from the hat, from the kalfi, it is kosher b'diyevit. Is Bishlam Lachlish of the Amis Ali and Rabbi Yehuda Kuli Amalei Pligid Loi Ma'akva? According to Mani Yama, that says that everybody, both Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Yochanan, hold the Kuntra Yehuda Loi Ma'akva. How many Rabbi Yehudi? So then this price goes to Kuntra Yehuda. It's not Ma'akiv. Mitzvah Avad, it's a mitzvah, but if you didn't do it, it's okay. El Hachlish of the Amis Pligi, that says that even a Kuntra Yehuda, they have a Machlikis, is Bishlam Mani Yama Loi Ma'akva. Hamani Rabbi Yehudi. Again, that's the Mani Yama that holds Rabbi Yehudi's Loi Ma'akva. Eleman de miakva hon mani, it cannot go according to Rav Nechemi, because Rav Nechemi says everything is ma'akev. And this man, even according to Behuda, it's ma'akev, because it says asher ola twice, and therefore it's ma'akev. Oy bazoi, how does it say that the hagrola b'dieved is kosher? Isn't it ma'akev according to everybody? Everything more tzvi, mitzvah lohon niach. You start the brice again. Not meisvei mitzvah lahagra v'imloi higro kosher, but mitzvah lo niach v'imloi niach is kosher, because that's what everybody said. Even Rabbi Yanai said that aliyah's goyrol is ma'akevus hanocha eina me'akevus. Rabbi Yochanan says even the aliyah eina me'akevus, but kuli al moide the hanocha on the backs of the animal. It's a mitzvah avada. The kohen should take the goyrol Hashem, put it down on one side. The one that says Gerla Azazel, he should do that. But if he didn't do it, it's not ma'akiv, it's still kosher.
Gerla is black
enough. I'm sorry?
Gerla is black
enough. That's a machloik. It's between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. Whether Aliyah is ma'akiv enough. Kuli Alamoy, the Hanocha is not ma'akiv.